I watch mostly sports on TV. But occasionally, I watch an old sitcom that's been off the air for a while. One of my favorite sitcoms is The King of Queens. Any of y'all ever watch that? Three. Okay, forget that story. This young couple's got an uncle named Arthur. And Arthur is getting nervous about the neighborhood, so he goes online, he orders a little torso man with arms, and he's all ripped, and you put him in a shirt, you put him in your car so that nobody carjacks you. It's called Mr. Security. So at the very end of the story, there's a lot of jokes going back and forth about Mr. Security. It's just a torso with a little... So he's got them all dressed up, and he's riding the subway in New York City. And all of a sudden, these tough guys come by him, and they go, hey, old man, give me your wallet. And he looks over. He's got Mr. Security there. And he goes. And they just slap him, and he falls over onto the ground. And so Arthur gives him his wallet, and he goes home. In the last scene, they show him taking Mr. Security out to the trash can and putting him in the trash can. And his closing line was this: it's so ironic, the one man Mr. Security couldn't save was himself. It's ironic. We're looking for men. And maybe the one guy that we need to be focused on is standing in front of the mirror. And I want to share with you four things today. I call them desires. John Piper wrote a great book, What Happens When I Don't Desire God. You know, the sad truth, if I measure my wallet and I measure my calendar, it would be hard to prove that I desire God. It's not reflected in the way I live my life. So I don't want to come here to put a weight on your shoulders. I want to come here today to stir up within you a godly desire, the desire that God wants us to have. And I'm a simple teacher. I'm not very, you know, I was basically a businessman for 30 years. So I try to keep it real simple. Let me give you four letters. K-F-L-O. K-Flo. It's a new radio station. No, it's not. It's just it's the message. K-Flo. Can you all remember that? Say it with me. K-Flo. Well, let me tell you what I think I'm talking about. My first and highest desire is to know God intimately. Now, I'm going to give you a description for each one of these words. K is to know God. And I'm not talking about just casual knowledge of God. I'm talking about deep, abiding knowledge of God. Knowing what God thinks. Knowing what God says. Knowing what God does. Most of our problems as believers is our failure to know the character and nature of God. And if we do know it, we forget it. This is why Peter says, I'm so happy to remind you of this truth. And if necessary, I'll remind you again. You know, the Bible's full of admonitions that repeat themselves over and over and over again. Rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I say, rejoice. Why? Because we forget. We get our eyes focused on something else. I want to know Christ intimately. Why? Because he's worth knowing. See, you got to determine what's worth what. Jesus Christ is worth knowing. In Philippians 3:8, Paul says this: what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Rubbish. Here's a Greek word, skubalon. You like that word? Skubalon. I like it. It's rubbish. Now, what it means is refuse, excrement. More than worthless. See, we translate that things that are worthless. They're not of any use. The word actually means things that are detestable. They're repulsive. They're repugnant. They stink. I don't want to be near them. When I compare everything I'm chasing after and dreaming about and planning for, when I compare that to knowing the God of the universe, the Christ who gave his life for me, then I consider it stench. And I run from it. I desire to know Christ more intimately because he's worth knowing. I desire to know him better. I always loved the Christmas Carol. And my favorite version of the Christmas Carol is the Muppets Christmas Carol. I can relate to them. I mean, they're at my level. Christmas present is a bigger-than-life character. Would fill up this whole room. And he's just jovial. He's laughing. And he calls Ebenezer and he says, "Ebenezer! Come. Know me better, man." This is what Jesus Christ is saying to you with laughter in his voice, inviting you, "Come. Know me better. You barely have scraped the surface of knowledge of who I am and what my capacity is within you. Come know me better." The scriptures say, Paul writes in Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking over and over and over and over that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. It should be the prayer for ourselves. This should be the prayer for your child, for your wife, for your son, for your daughter. Listen to this. This word epignosis means to have knowledge which is precise and correct. We suffer from scriptural illiteracy and inadequacy. Not only do we not know what we don't know, but what we know we don't know correctly about who God is. I was praying the other day. I mean, all these ministries here across the country are challenged, having difficulty. Thank God I'm tied to oil. And I began to pray to God just like the men out here are praying. Lord, you know our needs. You know how to meet them. And I was praying prayers that I was so proud of. I'm really praying prayers. One night about 3 o'clock in the morning, God wakes me up. He says, "Man, Mike, those prayers." I go, "Yeah, pretty good, huh? You're hearing them, right? I mean, you got a plan. You got something going." He goes, yeah, don't worry about the plan. I like the prayer, but here's the problem. They're coming from a depth of fear within you that I will not provide. You don't trust me. You don't know me. Because if you knew me, and if you saw what I'm able to do, you would be praying by faith. You would be praying as if it was already in your hands. You would be embracing my plan for your life because I got it all covered. And you don't need to be awake at 3 in the morning worrying about this stuff. The Lord God says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, those who build it. Unless the Lord is the watchman, he watches in vain for the enemy to come. They'll sneak right by him. The Lord blesses his children, even in their sleep. I deal with guys that have tremendously complex financial issues and transactions. And they get pretty wired up on some of this stuff. And I recite this verse to him over and over again. I said, why don't you go to bed? He goes, it's the middle of the day. I know, but if you go to sleep, God will bless you. I mean, you've done your work, right? His influencers sitting out here ministering to hundreds of men. They've done the work. They've done the labor. God will raise up the funding. God wants an influencers out here. God wants a Sam up here teaching us how to worship. We didn't know how to worship. Sam taught us how to worship. For I'm confident of this very thing. He who began the good work will what? Bring it to pass. See, Jesus replied to them and said, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? The scriptures or the power. I love the fact that he put them together. You learn the power of God through the scriptures. When Moses parts the Red Seas, what do you know about God? You don't need to have to swim. Leave the life vest back. I'm going with God. I desire to know God intimately, not casually, not occasionally, not back and forth, double-mindedly. I desire to know God intimately, and I press in. K-flow. F. Follow. I desire to follow Christ closely. See, I said, how close are you? God says to me, okay, now what do I do? You ever had somebody say that to you? I got 15 guys in Dallas I meet with every week, and every once in a while we get to a place in their business, and we're counseling, and we're teaching, and we're leading them in the Word of God, and they go, well, now what do I do? I go, I don't know. I'm broke. What are you asking me for? You got a jet and a ranch and a, what are you, out of your mind? No, I don't say that, by the way. I said, I don't have an answer for you. But in this case, in this situation, the best thing to do is watch Jesus. You ever do that? Years ago when I was in high school, I backpacked up San Gregorio, up the top of Palm Springs. They have these, I got a pack on and they got these switchbacks. And there's hedge bushes, so you can't, if you get too far behind and you come to two pass and you lose sight of the guy in front of you and you've never been on the trail, guess what? You're in bad shape because they're both equally, you know, guys have gone both ways. You can't see your guy. He got too far away from you. See, the failure of vision is that Christ got ahead of you because you weren't following closely. I don't really want to know if you're a believer. I found that this terminology is just not relevant. I want to know if you're a follower. Right? This is, come follow. He didn't, come follow me. And he didn't mean at a distance. You know, Jesus had a wonderful way of getting rid of people. You ever notice that? We're like, oh, please, come with me. We're going to hand out cards, right? Praise God. By the way, you know how I got here? Where's the guy used to, Phil's friend? He used to park his Goldwing, and he had a card right on the gas tank. And I saw that card. About 3 years later, I ended up in coming to this thing, and then I ended up in Dallas, so you might want to be careful. Here's my point. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and follow him closely. We can't let any distance get between us. When I was in high school, I was too small to play, you know, linebacker, so I played safety, and I played cornerback. And guess what? Man, if that guy starts to get into my space, I've got to be prepared to turn, and I can't let any daylight between myself and the receiver, or it's touchdown. And too many touchdowns, and then you're on the bench, which was probably what happened to me. The point is, you got to follow so closely to Jesus so you know where you're going. See, wherever he goes, that's where I go. Well, where are you going? Wherever he goes. Well, how do you know how to get there? I just follow him. He knows where he's going. I don't know where I'm going. Are you kidding me? How am I getting home? I don't know. I just follow him. Follow Jesus closely. By the way, this is what Jesus says. He says, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. The pathway of following is self-denial. And he must pick up his cross daily and follow me. And follow me. And follow me. There was a time of crisis. Jesus fed 5,000 men. I don't know how many women and children were there. But he fed them all. And, you know, at the end, when you get a happy meal, you're all like, yeah, Jesus, we're on your team now. Yeah, because you're feeding us, and it's free. It's the best kind of barbecue. Free barbecue. So, you guys do know what barbecue is. Okay. Woo! So, immediately at that moment, Jesus turned and says, oh, by the way, you're going to follow me. You got to eat my body and drink my blood. Whew. Scatter time. What the heck is this guy talking about? Right? I mean, people are running out the doors. And he turns around to Peter, and it looked like Peter had taken like 4 or 5 steps back. Like, okay, now you're getting weird on me. And he says, hey, Peter, are you about to leave also? And he says, well, God, you know, we've been thinking about it. We're having a discussion here, and it's like you're getting a little crazy on us. We've been thinking about it. But we have nowhere else to go where we can hear the words of life. Where are you going to go? Come on. Where are you going to go? There's no place. Run to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Number 3, KFLOW, L, KFL. Know God intimately. Follow him closely. Love him more deeply. I desire to love. I had to tell a guy the other day, I go, I don't think I love Christ. Let's just be honest. Let's cut the crap. I mean, I can tell you I love Christ. Why do I live the way I live? Because I don't. I mean, it's gut check time. You talk prophetically, you talk. I got a message right here I wrote a year ago. Judgment in America. Why? Because we're rebellious. Church is in rebellion. Leadership's in rebellion. The nation's in rebellion. My point is simply this. We don't love Christ the way that he should be loved. That was a song by Larnell Harris years ago. I'm not even sure I can remember it. But the title of the song was, You Paid Much Too High a Price for Me. Much too high a price. What? Why? Have you, did you black out for a moment? And not see how I would treat your grace and your blood and your mercy? Did you not see that? You paid much too high a price for me. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That word worthy means you don't deserve me. You don't deserve me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37. Greater love is no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life. For who? For me. And we out to. And we out to. And we out to lay down our lives for one another. Is that the kind of love that you have with your Savior? Now, I'm not saying, because you're only going to take a bullet once, right? So let's take that word lie down and let's look at some of its meanings. It means to set in place. It means to appoint. It means to line up with, to get yourself in place. You know what that's telling me? We put ourselves in place to serve one another. We put ourselves in place to help one another. We get ourselves in position to assist any way that we can. That's love. And it's not a burden. It's no longer burdensome. I'm not here to tell you, do this, do that. I'm saying, hey, man, get your desire lined up with what really counts. Know God more intimately. Desire to follow Him more closely. Desire to love Him more deeply. A love that says, hey, what do you need? I don't have the money. I'll go find it. I don't know who I'm inviting, but I'm just following Christ to whoever Christ wants to invite, whoever I bump into. Last verse here. To obey Christ more completely. Why? I don't know. You ever see the shirt obey? Guys wearing obey? I mean, where did they get that? We're ashamed of the word. We don't like the word. Obedience. I'm going to talk to you about obedience. We don't like the word. Listen, as Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and abide with him. John 14:23. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete. You want the complete love of Christ within your soul and heart and spirit and mind? Obey God. Delight in obedience. Choose this day whom you will obey. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus Christ himself humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, Philippians 2:8. Obedient unto death. How deeply, completely do we obey the Father? K-Flow. To know God intimately, to follow Him more closely, to love Him with greater depth, more deeply, to obey Him more completely. Now, I don't know which one of those four areas that you struggle with. You may be doing them all well. But there's a gap between where you're at and where God would like you to be. And you know what? In this day and time, God needs you to be all that He created you to be. He needs to be able to manifest His Spirit to the fullest extent that He can through your physical body. And He can only do it this way. As you seek to know Him, as you seek to follow Him, as you seek to love Him, as you seek to obey Him. Father, I pray for these men today, Lord. These are the guys that showed up. These are the guys that said, I don't know why I'm going. It's a habit. I'm coming. I don't know if I'm going to hear a word. I don't know if I'm going to receive something today. But God, I need your word. I need your strength. I need your power, Lord. And you've told them in your word how they might obtain it. How they might walk intimately with you closely. Feel your love so deeply and walk in obedience that they've never walked in before. Complete obedience. And so, Father, I pray for every man here right now that they would reach out to you in heart and spirit, in their quiet voice, and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Perfect me in your kingdom. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All that I am, and all that I have, and all that I hope to be, I give to you. And all that I hope to be, I give.